Ryan Biologist.
And this is Mick, the Doctor of Digital.
And welcome to Music 101. Music 101 is created to empower music, music itself, and legendary icon in the music industry. Another week, another great episode, the 25th anniversary. Stars, Stripes, and Strings, how patriotic music defines America's 4th of July celebration.
Yes, indeed. This is the soundtrack of American pride and unity, the 4th of July Independence Day, but this is a little bit more special this year because this is the 250th anniversary of celebration of 4th of July. So that's what we're going to jump into. So in conclusion, this is a patriotic year, 4th of July, and also 250th anniversary.
Well, so let's start with the obvious question, Mr. Mick. Why does James Brown's America's Is My Home feel like a defining patriotic song?
Yes, in the summer of 1968, in a time we considered in a previous episode, America was on fire, literally and figuratively. Cities burned, hearts ached, and the nation reeled from the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The war in Vietnam raged on, young men were being drafted by the thousands, and at home, the civil rights movement was colliding with a growing sense of disillusionment. Amid all this, James Brown, the godfather of soul, released a song that no one quite expected, America Is My Home. It was all funky, but JB worked hard and never rested on his laurels. It still wasn't a typical soul brother number one tune. It was more of a spoken word statement of pride in his country, laid over a simmering groove, a monologue. In it, Brown didn't dodge the truth. He offered a deep message. If a foreign enemy ever came, we'd stand together. Because in his words, black and white, they may fight, but if the enemy comes, we'll get together and run them out of sight. It was a testament to the patriotism of James, whose song, just months later, might be misinterpreted as simply pride in color. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud, a fiery anthem of American self-determination. But in the lyrics of Say It Loud, I'm black and I'm proud, J.B. even alludes to a gospel hymn, I've been buked and I've been scorned, by Mahalia Jackson from the March on Washington in 1963. Brown explains the chorus as wrapped up in the traditional American aspiration for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So in this song, if you listen very closely to the lyrics, you can see what James was really aiming at. He was describing personal autonomy for himself as he lived, but more importantly, to inspire his fans and young Americans. The song is about owning yourself, your career, and your education. Personal self-determination meant affirming loyalty to a country that permits and encourages life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Brown didn't fit neatly into anyone's narrative, and that year he publicly endorsed Richard Nixon for the presidency. Brown was a businessman, a showman, a patriot, and a cultural upstart all at once. With the tune, he wasn't just making a song, he was making a statement. Brown used his voice to say something bold. I believe. He was refusing to give up on the idea of America. In the days after King's assassination, it was Brown who helped prevent riots in Boston simply by going on stage and speaking directly to the people. He had a desire to unify, to stabilize, to remind everyone that home is still America. The song remains a powerful piece of musical history, a moment when a man known for making people dance paused to ask them to listen and believe. Because sometimes patriotism isn't loud or flag-waving. Sometimes it's bold, complicated, and deeply personal, just like James Brown. The song's power lay in its refusal to apologize for the American dream. What made this era so remarkable was that artists like Dylan, Cash, and countless others discovered that questioning American institutions could itself be a patriotic act. They expanded what patriotism could mean. It wasn't just flag waving anymore. It was acclaiming America living up to its highest ideals. In conclusion, artists were loving America enough to fight for its soul.
Mr. Mick, since this, well, the 250th anniversary, have there been official and unofficial songs celebrating the event?
I'll mention three official releases first. Gloria and Emilio Estefan produced America from America's soundtrack, The Sound of 250 Years. America 250 is a national nonpartisan organization charged by Congress with leading the celebration and commemoration of the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. The song reflects the Estefan's gratitude for the freedoms and opportunities found in the United States. Emilio serves as executive producer of America's soundtrack. Future releases will feature pop, rock, and beyond, underscoring the project's ambition to reflect the full range of American music. Music has always been how Gloria and I tell stories about who we are and where we're going, said Emilio Estefan. America's soundtrack is about capturing our dynamic musical roots as a country while creating something forward-looking that reflects our future. Karen LeFranc's America Promise features actor Keith David reciting memorable lines from the Declaration of Independence. American Promise was recorded with the London Symphony Orchestra at Abbey Road Studios with arranger conductor William Ross and released via Naxos in March for America's 250th. Although these have been official endorsements, independent artists have been active and released 250th anniversary music as well. 250 Strong was recorded by Liberty Oak. From the rugged peaks of the West Coast to the historic cradle of Liberty on the Atlantic shores, and from the deep southern plains to the northern lakes, our shared red, white, and blue spirit echoes across every valley, city, and town. The soaring country guitars and powerhouse vocals remind us of the independent drive, resilient communities, and generations of trailblazers who have kept this nation thriving. This is more than a song. It's a celebration of our past, an honor to our present, and a fierce anthem for our future. 250 Years was recorded by Patriots United. The song is an epic patriotic Christian anthem. 250 years ago, they signed their names, put everything at risk for freedom's sacred flame. Under God, they built a nation strong and true. And with this, we also have the USA 250th anniversary song, which was released by Danny Edward Ball. The song is a tribute to 250 years of freedom, faith, and the American spirit. Is a heartfelt celebration of our nation's journey from its founding principles of liberty and courage to the enduring hope that still lights our way. The song is appropriate for school children. Through stirring lyrics and soaring melodies, Danny honors the heroes, dreamers, and everyday Americans who have built, protected, and preserved this land for generations. It's a reminder of who we are and what we stand for, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This song is my love letter to America, says Ball. It's about remembering our roots, honoring our faith, and passing on a spirit of unity and courage to the next generation. We Are America, the 250th anniversary anthem, is a song by Bruce Winterstein. Bruce Winterstein performs the song We Are America, an independent heartland rock anthem. While external and internal forces try to divide the heartland, this song is an audit of the common sense unity that keeps our country standing. Then we have America's 250th birthday song, Happy 250 Years USA, which was released by Children's Songs R Us. This country ballad is appropriate for children as well. Thank God I Live in America, 250th anniversary song, is by Mystic Songwriter. 250 years ago, ordinary people dared to dream of freedom. The song is dedicated to the generations who fought, sacrificed, worked, built, and believed in something greater than themselves. From the patriots who stood at Lexington and Concord, to the men and women who defended freedom through every generation, to the families, workers, farmers, teachers, first responders, and everyday Americans who keep the promise alive, this is their story. This is our story. And with that, we have all those songs that are both official and unofficial. And there's also Thank God I Live in America, God Bless the Land of the Free, which is a part of Great Big American Dreams, written and released by Louise Scotty. It's a patriotic anthem celebrating America's 250th anniversary, Flag Day, President Trump's 80th birthday, and the American spirit, freedom, faith, hope, and dreams that continue to unite our nation. We remember the courage, sacrifice, and vision that built this great nation. This lyric video honors the American spirit, our freedoms, our military, our families, our communities, and the dreams that make America unique. 250 Years Free is by Gary Wilson, who is also known as Big Daddy G. The song is a powerful, upbeat, patriotic, outlaw country anthem celebrating the 250th anniversary of American independence. From the smoke of Lexington and the frozen crossing of the Delaware to today's back roads, Hopetown bars, fireworks, blue-collar workers, veterans, farmers, truck stops, and neon Friday nights, The song honors the spirit of freedom that still runs through America after 250 years. In conclusion, numerous artists have been inspired officially and unofficially to celebrate America's 250th anniversary.
Well said, well said, Mr. Meg. Before we dive deeper, what about songs that mention the 4th of July? Did artists write about Independence Day itself?
At one time, 4th of July songs were blatantly patriotic, such as Stars and Stripes Forever by John Philip Sousa. On the other hand, back in the day, the most powerful patriotic music of the 1960s was less explicit. Our upbringing was patriotic, but tempered by political reality. And of course, the genius of soul, Ray Charles, really contributed one of the finest renditions of a classic 4th of July song, America the Beautiful. In conclusion, some artists, such as Charlie and Ray, paid explicit tributes to America and took the lead on the 4th of July theme.
Indeed, and how did the post-war optimism of the 1950s shape the patriotic music of the decade?
The 1950s created a perfect storm for patriotic music. Post-war economic boom, suburban expansion, Cold War tensions, and the emergence of mass media all aligned to create an unprecedented wave of patriotic expression. Artists were creating a distinctive sound that celebrated prosperity, technological progress, and national confidence. This era's music reflected the country's emergence as a global superpower and the widespread appreciation of American exceptionalism. The decade's patriotic music was characterized by several key themes that directly reflected post-war optimism. Songs celebrated America's role as a world leader, emphasized suburban prosperity and the American dream, and showcased technological achievements like space exploration. The music often featured upbeat tempos, orchestral arrangements, and lyrics that painted an idealized picture of American life. Songs like This Land Is Your Land by Woody Guthrie, while guardedly optimistic about America, gained renewed popularity in the 1950s through Pete Seeger as it captured the expansive spirit of the time. Originally, the Woody version was an economic lament during bad times. The song's celebration of America's natural beauty and accessibility resonated with the decade's optimistic worldview. Irving Berlin's God Bless America, though written in 1918 and revised in 1938, became a defining anthem of 1950s patriotism. Kate Smith's powerful renditions during this decade transformed it into an unofficial national anthem embodying the era's confidence and gratitude. Chuck Berry stands out as having recorded Back in the USA, which is one of the few genuinely patriotic songs from the early rock era. This song expressed appreciation for America after returning from overseas travel. The folk revival that began in the late 1950s introduced something new, patriotic music that encouraged American ideals to be lived out. Artists like Pete Seeger, who popularized This Land Is Your Land, again for a new audience, and the Weavers created music that was simultaneously loving and critical, inspiring Americans as they lived up to their highest ideals. Seeger was one of the folk songs singers responsible for popularizing the spiritual We Shall Overcome, which became the acknowledged anthem of the civil rights movement. The folk revival rescued and reinterpreted traditional songs, giving them new relevance. We Shall Overcome became a patriotic anthem through its association with the civil rights movement, even though it started as a gospel song. If I Had a Hammer was co-written by Pete Seeger, and this became both a folk standard and a song embraced by those seeking to build a better America. Folk artists established what I called patriotic protest, the idea that the most patriotic thing you could do was to inspire Americans to create a better society. Television played a huge role, too. Ed Sullivan's show performances reached millions of families simultaneously, creating shared cultural experiences around patriotic music that hadn't existed before mass media. One specific folk artist performed on the Ed Sullivan Show. Leon Bibb, a Tony-nominated actor and folk singer who grew up under segregation, found mainstream favor on the Ed Sullivan Show. Leon Bibb definitively performed Sinner Man on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1959, a spiritual with implicit freedom and redemption themes that align with the struggle for justice. Bibb is the clearest example of a folk singer who successfully crossed over to mainstream television appearances as urging Americans to view justice as an American theme on the Ed Sullivan Show during this era. The Ed Sullivan Show show featured at least two confirmed patriotic songs during the 1950s and 1960s, God Bless America by Kate Smith and Yankee Doodle Dandy and You're a Grand Old Flag by Joel Gray, both celebrated for evoking American pride and history. In conclusion, artists perform certain songs as unofficial national anthems while giving artists national platforms for patriotic expression.
Indeed, some ceramic then came the 1960s and everything got complicated. How did musicians handle expressing patriotism during such a turbulent decade and thereafter?
The 1960s presented American musicians with an unprecedented challenge. How do you express love of country when the country seems to be falling apart? The result was the most complex and contradictory body of patriotic music in American history. You had Bob Dylan asking fundamental questions about American justice in Blowin' in the Wind, while positioning social change as fundamentally American in The Times They Are a-Changin'. Dylan demonstrated that questioning American institutions wasn't anti-American. It was inspiring to lead Americans as the country lived up to its founding promises. Country music largely maintained its traditional patriotic stance, but even conservative artists began grappling with changing realities. Merle Haggard's Okie from Muskogee is often misunderstood. It wasn't just conservative backlash. It was a complex view of American identity that acknowledged class and regional differences within patriotic expression. Haggard was saying, essentially, this is how we express patriotism in our community, and that's valid too. The emergence of protest music created entirely new categories of patriotic expression. Songs like Buffalo Springfield's For What It's Worth and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young's Ohio weren't traditionally patriotic, but they expressed deep concern for American democracy and aspirations for justice. Excuse me. And as a rocking version of Ohio was by the Limeys' Mott the Hoople, fronted by Ian Hunter. These songs represented patriotism's highest aspirations, the belief that America is good and could be made better. By decade's end, the definition of patriotism had expanded dramatically. In conclusion, criticizing foreign policy, achieving racial equality, and promoting justice had all been established as legitimate forms of patriotic expression, a legacy that continues.
A legacy, indeed. Geography seems to play a huge role in how different regions express patriotism through music. Can you break that down, Mr. Mink?
Absolutely. American patriotic music was never monolithic because America itself isn't monolithic. Different regions created distinct patriotic musical cultures that reflected their unique histories, economies, and social structures. The American West provided endless material for patriotic expression through its frontier mythology. Country and folk artists celebrated the cowboy spirit, gold rush adventures, and westward expansion as they praised America. They embodied American values of independence, opportunity, and individual freedom. The West represented America's future possibilities. A good example is from Johnny Cash and Sweet Betsy from Pike. A mainstream pop version of Sweet Betsy from Pike is the rendition by Iggy Pop featured on the soundtrack for The Lone Ranger Wanted 2013. Unlike traditional folk versions by artists like Burl Ives or Johnny Cash, Iggy Pop's take infuses the Gold Rush era ballad with a modern pop-infused energy, incorporating a lively arrangement with a cinematic flair suitable for a mainstream audience. The song retains its narrative of Betsy and Ike's pioneer journey, but it's polished with contemporary production, making it accessible to pop listeners while preserving its Western spirit. The South faced unique challenges, especially during the civil rights era. Southern musicians had to navigate between regional pride and national criticism. Johnny Cash mastered this balance by focusing on working-class Southern experiences that transcended racial divisions while avoiding explicitly political statements. But Cash, the man in black, born of Arkansas soil, steps into the fray with Ragged Old Flag, a song that feels like a 4th of July story told round a flickering fire. She's been through the fire before, he says, and I believe she can take a whole lot more. The words land like truth, simple and unyielding, honoring the grit of folks who kept going, no matter the odds. It's not a glossy anthem. It's raw, like the calloused hands it celebrates. By the time Cash confesses, I'm mighty proud of that old ragged flag. You feel it too, a quiet, shared pride in a country that endures because people, and its people do. Released in 1974, Ragged Old Flag climbed to number 31 on country charts, but its reach stretched far beyond. Charlie Daniels weaved explicitly flat 4th of July imagery into his narrative. Several Daniels songs would qualify as 4th of July material, but In America is his most famous patriotic anthem and a staple for Independence Day celebrations. Dolly Parton's Color Me America is an upright, uplifting, patriotic song that blends her warmth and plain-spoken sincerity with the celebration of American identity. Rather than leaning on anger or nostalgia, it infuses a hopeful, inclusive tune, treating the country as something made vivid by its people, their differences, and their shared pride. Urban America found its voice through soul and R&B emerging from Detroit, Philadelphia, and Memphis. Motown created implicitly patriotic music by celebrating American success stories. Their artists' rise from poverty to stardom embodied the American dream, overcoming adversity. Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, 1971, is a powerful Motown classic that captures an implicitly patriotic spirit, and I appreciate the chance to pivot to this iconic track. Gaye's soulful masterpiece weaves a deeper, more reflective narrative of America, one that confronts its struggles while celebrating the resilience and hope of its people, especially Americans rising from adversity. It's a song that embodies the American dream not through glamour, but through raw honesty, making it a profound example of Motown's ability to craft music that feels patriotic by holding a mirror to the nation's soul. When producer Berry Gordy initially resisted, calling it too political, Gaye stood firm, even threatening to leave the label. Released in 1971, the single soared to number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100, proving America was ready to listen. The song's patriotism lies in its unflinching love for what America could be. Gaye, a man who clawed his way from Washington, D.C. slums to stardom, knew the American dream's promise and its betrayals. "Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying," he sings, mourning war and division, while "Brother, brother, we don't need to escalate" calls for peace across racial and social lines. It's not a protest song that points fingers. It's a prayer for unity, rooted in the working class experience, yet universal enough to resonate with all Americans. By addressing Vietnam, urban decay, and inequality, Gaye celebrates the nation's potential to overcome adversity, much like his rise from poverty to global icon. In a nation grappling with civil rights and war, the song's plea for talking to each other was a quiet rebellion, showing that love for country could mean demanding it live up to its dreams. This is Motown at its most patriotic, not waving flags, but lifting voices. Gaye's journey from hardship to triumph, channeled through a song that dares to question and heal, mirrors the nation's struggle to rise above its flaws. It's the American dream sung with soul, proving that even in pain, there's hope for a better tomorrow. That's the patriotism Motown stirred, not with flags, but with soul. Berry Gordy's formula was brilliant. Create music so undeniably American that it demanded full inclusion in American identity. Motown rightly branded itself as the sound of young America. The folk revival drew heavily on regional traditions, preserving and reinterpreting songs from different parts of America. This musical archaeology revealed patriotic expressions' deep roots while adapting traditional themes for contemporary audiences. You could hear Appalachian ballads, Western work songs, and urban blues all contributing to America's patriotic musical vocabulary. The folk revival of the 1950s and 60s was a vibrant excavation of America's musical roots, pulling from Appalachian ballads, Western work songs, and urban blues to weave a tapestry of patriotic expression that spoke to both tradition and modern hopes. A 4th of July song that captures the spirit, distinct from Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land, is My Country, Tis of Thee, also known as America, particularly in its folk rival renditions by artists like Pete Seeger during the 1960s. Folk rockers David Crosby and Graham Nash recorded My Country, Tis of Thee. While the song's origins predate the revival, its reinterpretation during this era breathed new life into its patriotic core, blending regional traditions with a contemporary call for unity. The song's regional roots shine through. Its imagery of vales and hills recalls Appalachian storytelling, while its pioneer spirit mirrors anthems of journey and hope. Regional radio stations were crucial. They created local patriotic traditions that reflected their community's values. Country stations in the South and West, folk venues in college towns, and R&B stations in urban areas each developed distinct patriotic cultures while remaining recognizably American. The interstate highway system expanded during the 1950s and 1960s, enabled greater musical cross-pollination. Folk artists, up with people, traveled, and whom I saw as a kid performed the ride of Paul Revere. In conclusion, musicians could tour more extensively, exposing different regions to varied patriotic expressions while maintaining their regional identities.
Mr. Mick, can you address the big hit that is often misinterpreted as a patriotic song? And what about similar songs that comment on America as an idea?
One of the most well-known songs that is often misinterpreted as patriotic is, of course, Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA. The chorus simply repeats Born in the USA, sounding patriotic, but the song is criticizing the treatment of Vietnam vets. The lyrics make it clear what the song is about, and Bruce repeatedly points out the limitations of the country, although he benefited himself from the opportunities in America. Neil Diamond's America is a soaring celebratory immigrant anthem that turns the idea of arrival into a song about hope, belonging, and possibility. It frames America as a place people come to dream with dreams in hand, then builds into a big communal statement about faith in a future that feels larger than any one person's story. Simon and Garfunkel's America, Homeward Bound, is a road trip song that becomes a meditation on searching, both for the country itself and for a sense of meaning inside it. What begins as a youthful, hopeful journey across the landscape gradually turns more wistful and unsettled, so the song feels less like a patriotic anthem and more like an intimate portrait of longing, disillusionment, and the idea of America as something people chase but never fully arrive at. The Jefferson Airplane went further in their Volunteers of America and blatantly announced the revolution. And this was reflective of the late 1960s. So, on the other hand, After an Attack and More Balanced is Toby Keith's Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue, which is a blunt post-9/11 anthem built around grief, anger, and defiance. It turned patriotism into a forceful response to loss. So the song feels like a nostalgic celebration, less so, but more like a fierce statement about American pride, punishment, and resolve. In conclusion, for artists of all stripes, America as an Idea has covered the gamut of options.
So, to sum up, looking back, and what is the lasting legacy of American patriotic music, Mr. Mack?
I would hope that the people from all over the world would get on the peace train and would be inspired by the aspirations of America. Get on the peace train, tell all the people all over the world, and referencing places like England, China, and Africa, the song is Love Train by the OJ's, released in 1972. This Philly soul classic, written by Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff, perfectly fits the soul genre and the folk revival spirit of adapting regional traditions for a broader, unifying message, making it an ideal 4th of July anthem with its call for global unity and love. Picture Philadelphia's Sigma Sound Studios. I had an opportunity to visit this shrine at one time, where the smooth grooves of MFSBs, mothers, fathers, sisters, and brothers, horns and strings, back the OJ's soaring harmonies. The song's lyrics, people all over the world, join hands, start a love train, echo the soulful optimism of the era, urging unity across borders. Specific lines like, the next stop that we make will be England, tell all the folks in Russia and China too, and all of you brothers over in Africa, tell all the folks in Egypt and Israel too, directly align with naming global places in a vision of harmony. Released among the Vietnam War's end and the civil rights struggle, Love Train hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 and R&B charts, its infectious rhythm and message resonating with all audiences. The folk revival drew from America's regional roots, Appalachian ballads, Western work songs, urban blues, and Love Train channels this by blending soul's urban pulse with a universal call for togetherness, much like a modern spiritual. Its train imagery recalls folk anthems like This Train is Bound for Glory, but its polished Philly soul sound with gospel-tinged vocals adapts the tradition for a 1970s audience hungry for hope. The song's patriotic undertone lies in its celebration of America's potential to lead with love, reflecting the nation's diverse voices while avoiding divisive politics. It's a 4th of July anthem that feels like a block party, inviting everyone to dance towards a better world. It's interesting to note as well that a John Denver song has spontaneously and patriotically been adopted at the World Cup. Go USA, maybe a miracle will happen after all. The song's lyrics by Lee Greenwood in his songs, Easy to Celebrate, I'm Proud to Be an American. We may be a flawed country, but we aspire to be greater and better. I hope that American artists' messages translate and inspire others to achieve the ordinary things that all people hope for: peace, community, and unity. The complex relationship between protest and patriotism established precedents that remain relevant during contemporary political tensions. Artists today can look to musicians like James Brown, Bob Dylan, and Ian Hunter for examples of maintaining patriotic sentiment while feeling free to criticize American policies and institutions. The Limey, though translated in America for decades, is singer-songwriter Ian Hunter, who critiques the elites in their three-piece suits while favoring the ordinary American described as Frankie and Johnny, while searching for what he calls in the song of the same name, Soul of America. More information about Hunter's songs is in my own On Track, Ian Hunter. The fireworks may fade and the barbecues may end, but the music endures, carrying forward the dreams, disputes, and declaration of independence that continue defining the American experience. In the end, perhaps the most patriotic legacy, music that keeps democracy's conversation alive, generation after generation, beat by beat, note by note, voice by voice. Since we started with Soul Brother number one, let's end the celebration of America with JB as well, with Living in America. James Brown, the godfather of soul, caps our patriotic journey with Living in America from 1985, a funky, high-energy anthem that pulses with pride for the American dream. From his roots in Georgia's poverty to global stardom, Brown's gritty vocals and horn-driven groove celebrate the nation's highways, cities, and promise of opportunity, making it a 4th of July banger. In conclusion, featured in Rocky IV, the song's unapologetic optimism, super highways, coast to coast, just easy to get anywhere, unites listeners across divides, embodying America's spirit of resilience and hustle.
Indeed, the 4th of July celebrations looks back at the historic 25th anniversary of American independence and the powerful role music played in marking this extraordinary milestone. Mr. Meg, would you like to plug in something?
I appreciate the opportunity. Connect with me on LinkedIn. Write the book, Grow the Business. G. Mick, the Doctor of Digital Smith, PhD. Listen to the Doctor of Digital podcast. Pick up a couple of volumes I have on Amazon. That's On Track, Ian Hunter, and Burning America.
Yes, people, I support Mr. Meg, the Doctor of Digital, and please do visit our official website to all the podcasts that we're creating, www.universalpodcast.net. And, of course, four of them are Mr. Meg and I doing each week. So, Mr. Meg, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, my friend. Till next time, Deus Vault.
Morning, people. See you soon.